Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. You got to check out the video on the BJ and Migs page of KISW.com about this kid. 8 years old. He's in Idaho, and he made his own book, which you're like, all right, sure. I mean, little kids can do whatever they want, sure.
No, it's just getting up to speed with a lot of adults. They're like, I'm working on a book, man. I'm working on my book. How about this kid completed? Oh, is that strike a nerve?
Don't get me started with that, Steve. I mean, oh, my God. Everybody I know is like, oh, yeah, I'm working on it now. Yeah, good. Good.
I thought you were about to say, I'm working on a book. And I'm like, no, not you too, BJ.
No, that's not going to be me.
I remember one time someone was like, Steve, you should write a book. And I just started laughing uncontrollably. I'm like, I don't even read books. You think I'm going to write one?
That's why it's ironic. If you, you really should be the guy to write a book.
And it'll be called The Only Book I'll Ever Read.
Yeah. And you have Vicky do the entire writing, and then you just approve it, like, okay. All of this. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. I love how Vicky was given the job of being your ghostwriter. That's nice.
I feel like I'm just going to carry around like a little recorder and just have you tell me stories and then make an audiobook. It's like, he doesn't read books. He listens to audiobooks. Here you go, people.
There you go. My book will just be a bunch of like incomplete chapters. And like, I forgot what happened at this point.
Moving on.
I should have kept notes. We'll end every chapter.
I met this guy. It was great.
Yeah.
Next chapter.
We got wasted. The rest is pretty foggy.
I got a great title for your book.
What's that?
Steve Migs. Not so much a storyteller.
Right. Don't buy this.
Yeah, don't buy this at all. Oh, man.
I won't even read this.
But you know what? I was just thinking, because I've been reading, I've just started reading Dave Grohl's book, and that would be funny if he ended every chapter that way. Like, just, he's like, he sets it up perfectly, and then you're like, okay, and so what did happen? What did this mean for you? I really don't remember.
Yeah, he's like, you might want to check with one of my friends. I'm not too sure what happened after this.
Yeah, I have to say, Dave has got a pretty amazing memory, so you're in competition. You're going to have to go the other direction on this one.
Yes.
Yeah. I love this little kid, though, because, like, look, you figure, out what's his book like? He probably wrote it out hand. Who knows what he did? But here's the cool part of all this. This 8-year-old from Idaho writes his own book. Then he snuck it into his local library and put it on the shelf.
Oh, that's funny. So he's just like, yeah, I'm going to get a distribution by putting it on the shelf myself.
And that's exactly what happened. The library actually started checking his book out to people. And here's Dylan, the little 8-year-old boy, telling us all about this.
I've been wanting to put a book in a library since I was 5. There was a lot of librarians that I had to get past, so do you know what I did? I covered this part and covered the back with my body and just snuck it in. And then I put my book right here. The next time I came back, it was gone.
Kid's a genius.
I love that he calls it a library.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
library.
That's the best part. Yeah. I mean, the kids, he's doing everything right with this whole situation.
So the book is about Dylan, which, of course, you got to write about what you know, and who one night is decorating a tree when the star on top explodes.
Whoa.
Oh, great story.
Apparently, he said, I think someone overnight put a bomb in there and it just exploded. And after that, he gets sucked into a portal and goes back in time to the very first Thanksgiving.
Oh.
This sounds like a winner.
Wow, this kid's got a great imagination.
A turkey.
And of course the turkey's like, you shall pay.
The turkey eats him. Spoiler alert.
Oh, I thought he was breathing fire, but he actually eats him.
Oh,
wow.
See,
I thought he was throwing up.
I'm next to check this out, and you just spoiled it.
They got it. Someone's got to. You got to imagine there's some book company that's going to just grab this book and just make just reprint it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Like, as is. Like, don't even, like, you know, try and make the artwork better. Just,
no,
like,
of course not.
Yeah, just put it out there.
But he made it, you know, it's so cool because he got, like, a book sort of, you know, like a diary journal book with, the standard white pages with the lines. So it looks like a book. If you put it in there, you feel like, oh, it's good. It looks like a relatively hardbound book.
Dude, there's a waiting list now for this book.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's so awesome.
They need to start printing copies.
This kid, I have to tell you right now, I want to know what this kid does in 15, 20 years. I really, really
mushrooms,
do,
based on the story.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I feel like the kid's going to be like, well, I'm not going to say he's not going to do mushrooms, but I mean, I feel like this kid's going to be the man.
I'm already in. Make this into a movie.
Here's what I want to know.
Starting Bruce Willis as the kid. I don't know why.
Bruce Willis hasn't been doing good stuff
because that's why. He needs the redemption.
Okay, so this will do it for him, huh?
It's Dylan Helbig's Christmas, which he spells C-R-I-S-M-I-S.
Oh, of course he does.
Yes, Christmas.
This kid's the best. Love this kid. Oh, man, I love this kid. All right, look at that, man.
Bruce Willis's Christmas.
That's right. Why not? I mean,
Bruce Willis needs another Christmas movie. This
he really
is the
does.
One. He
plays that we all can argue about.
He plays young Dylan, who goes back in time to the very first Thanksgiving, where he gets eaten by a turkey.
That is, I mean, Tim Burton should direct this.
Is this a sequel to Looper?
Yes. That's exactly why I thought of Bruce Willis.
I can tell.
All right, so we got to see if Joe Gordon-Levitt's available, right? Because, I mean, you know, he'll play the young Dylan then, apparently.
Sure, why not?
I mean, you know.
Sure, okay.
Why not? I mean, well, you know, let's get everybody. Let's get the whole gang together for this. Yeah. Oh, man, that's great.
I love that there's a waiting list for people that want to just take this book out and read it.
Yeah, I would be curious. I mean, I'd check this book out. I mean, it's going to be a quick read.
Is it?
Because he's got pictures.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He's got pictures on the pages, so that, of course that helps.
You know, it might be taking some while to figure out how he spells things. You might have to look
how he spells Christmas.
Yeah.
Dude, I think if this kid grew up to be like a great comic book writer for Marvel or DC, that would be so awesome. Like, he could point to this and go, here's my first comic book that I wrote right here. Oh, so good.
The story of me going back in time to be eaten by a turkey.
It's a great idea. It's a great story. Man.
It's a sad ending.
I know.
Well, see, I like this. It's not predictable. You know what I mean? Like, the hero doesn't always make it.
At least that we know of.
I mean, we don't know if that's actually the end. That could have just been a plot point. Like, he has to get out of the turkey somehow.
Oh,
what
right.
if inside the turkey is another portal?
He might be Turkey Man.
Right. That's the next book.
Turkey Man.
These are all great ideas. You guys, you need to get in touch with Dylan because he may not have a script for book two yet.
Dylan the Turkey Man.
Yeah.
Turkey Man. Dylan's the Turkey Man. Yeah. There we go.
Wow.
Oh, and we have sound effects. We're ready to make this happen for
Dylan.
I mean,
there is a kid's book called Captain Underpants. So I'm, you know, at this point, I think everything is a game.
Dude, yeah. There's a whole section just of kids' books about farting.
Oh,
yeah.
At least at Target.
Really?
Yes. I always think of you, Rev, when I go by that section.
Oh, it's so true. I've been there too, Steve, because I'm like, oh, I wonder what the kids are reading. And then, like Danny said, Captain Underpants rules the whole kid book aisle.
Yeah, or I need a new butt.
Yeah.
I've read that one many times.
And then I think Captain Underpants has like a spinoff with a dog that's a hero or something.
Yeah, Dogman.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know.
All right.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Man, oh, man.
He's on his way.
Yeah. The one book I do want to get is No One Likes a Fart. I'm always curious. Like, what do you mean, No One Likes a Fart? Who wrote this? My wife?
Is that the sequel to Everybody Poops?
I have
But No One Likes a Fart? Is that? It feels like it's a sequel.
I only don't like a fart when I lose the 50-50. Otherwise, I love farts.
Damn. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, then. Well, we know that you and Dylan are both qualified to write a children's book. There we go. Congratulations.
Well, one's already accomplished it. The other one's a massive failure.
You keep working on it, though. We got a soldier that returns home after being away for over 2 years to surprise his parents, only to walk in on them getting it on.
Nice.
Oh, man. Steve will tell you all about it. He's got the Migs Report for you at 6:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Well informed on the issues of the day? Not this guy. Live from the KISW News Center in downtown Seattle, this is the Migs Report.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks to Kia Up You All for giving us the Migs Report today. Very special day. Show some love for the squirrels. It's National Squirrel Appreciation Day.
Yeah. Aw, happy day for Peanut.
Yeah, your friend Peanut, that's right.
Yeah, my Peanut and all his homies. He's brought a bunch more now lately.
Well, that's are you feeding them?
Yes.
That's probably why.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So it's National Feed a Squirrel Day as well. Maybe you feed them New England Clam Chowder because it's National New England Clam Chowder Day. Go to Duke's. Get some of that chowder.
Yeah.
Chowder.
Good call.
And then it's National One-Liner Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, my wife told me to stop impersonating a flamingo. I had to put my foot down. I don't know.
Hey, you get no respect.
I don't know why all of a sudden I had to become Rodney Dangerfield when I tell you a stupid joke like that.
Well, I think you had to. I feel like that's a Rodney Dangerfield joke.
It worked.
Two fish are in a tank. One says, how do you drive this thing?
Oh,
jeez.
All right.
I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but then I turned myself around.
Oh, there we go. No. That really does sound like Rodney Dangerfield style jokes.
Takes a lot of balls to golf the way that I do.
Hey!
No.
I get no respect.
I just burned 2,000 calories. That's the last time I'll eat brownies in the oven when I take a nap.
Oh!
No.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on.
I like,
you know what? Feed your squirrels.
Thank you. You're not honoring a big day today.
What?
It's the 50th anniversary of the first Star Trek convention ever. Come on,
oh,
man.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, well, geez. Come on, buddy.
My bad. I'm so sorry.
Wow. I mean, really.
That's just awful.
Yeah.
May the force be with you.
There you go. Thank you for the proper honoring.
And also with you.
I don't know if it was the first ever kind of like geeky convention, but when you think of all the cons, Emerald City Comic Con, San Diego, I mean, could it have been birthed 50 years ago at this Star Trek convention? I don't know, but it's pretty wild.
Dude, I would think you're probably right.
Yeah. I mean, it's it was a big deal. Gene Roddenberry even spoke at it with the creator of Star Trek. So, yeah, 50 years ago, man, I'm old.
It took you that to realize it?
I really, yeah. I mean, because, because I was alive when it happened.
Well, happy 50th, Star Wars.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, pal.
And Star Trek. Hey, let's head on over to Colorado. I always love these videos when, like, there's a hockey game or some sporting event. they bring out somebody like to do something, and then they surprise them with their son, their daughter, their brother, their sister, their aunt, their uncle, their mom, their dad, whoever it is that's in the military, surprise them after years of being gone. And that's the first time they see him, and then it's just waterworks, it's goosebumps. I always love those videos.
Yeah, it is awesome when they do that stuff.
So this guy's been stationed in Germany for over 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And he was coming back to Colorado. His parents had no idea that he was showing up. So he was like, I'm going to surprise my parents, and they haven't seen me in forever. This is going to be a really cool thing. He had his other family members there with him with the video camera or their cell phone so they could get the video footage of it, so they could, you know, share it with everybody. So he shows up to the house. Again, the parents have no idea that he's coming to the house. And he knocks on their door, and he pretends that it's a robbery. So he yells, it's a robbery. They probably wish it was a robbery, because when he opened up the door, mom and dad are banging.
Oh!
And that's wow. what he had to see. We have the audio of it. Here's the guy, Joseph, showing up to say what's up to his parents as his sister is filming it.
Oh,
and,
no.
Well, hilarity ensues.
It's a robbery!
Well, either his girlfriend or his sister found it to be hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, my. Oh, that's. Yeah. He's just like, oh, no, I was just robbed.
Here's
robbed
the funny part.
Of my sight.
Well, he didn't find it very hilarious. Apparently, it traumatized him so bad that he spent the rest of his time off before he went back to Germany with his girlfriend and sister and only texted his parents.
Wow. Couldn't look him in the eye.
Apparently not.
Wow. Oh, come on, dude. You can't be that
guy.
They've
done it at least twice.
He's young. I think maybe that's like he's, you know, in his early 20s. So maybe it's just a little more traumatic. Like, if I walked in on my parents, well, I'd be pretty impressed if they were doing that, because it seems like they hurt themselves just getting off the couch. But
yeah. Yeah, it's a great. You got to check the video on the BJ Migs page, because you see him going in there, in their door, in there, and he just goes, oh my God, what have I done?
Dogs are barking.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they call it?
Oh, you know.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm a big fan of the Kiss Cam. It's actually happened before where my wife and I were on it at a WWE event. I think it happened to us also when we were at like an Everett Silvertips game as well. For a moment, we were on a good run. I don't know if you've seen this video, but it was at a New York Knicks basketball game. They did the Kiss Cam thing. And it happened last night. And as they're going through, they're like, okay, everybody kiss, kiss, kiss. They end up on a guy who has two girls sitting next to him, one on one side and one on the other. And this dude not only kisses them, but they also kiss. Like, the two girls kiss. It was amazing.
Oh,
it's become like one of the greatest things on the internet, because they kiss him and then they kiss each other, and the place just goes nuts.
Even the next couple were like, wow, look at that.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? Can we go back to those guys? Forget us.
Yeah. The next couple, the woman's like, don't even ask the person sitting next to you. Yeah. I ain't doing that. One of the greatest moments in basketball history right there.
That's a fact. That guy is, you know what? He's a star.
I think a lot of us were ready to kiss anybody who's a Kraken fan yesterday.
Yeah.
What a game, BJ. Woo! I don't know if you caught it, but
I did not. What happened?
Seattle Kraken win 3-2. They're now 2-0 under the Davy Jones dog regime.
Look at this. The dog, the KISW hockey merchandise, it's all clicking.
I like how you lumped that in there as well. That's pretty awesome.
KISW.com. Go buy some.
Oh, man. They look like crap in the first period. Give him a goal like in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell Dave Haxtell told them, or maybe he brought the dog in to lick them or, you know, bite their ankles.
Let's not even talk about peanut butter. Let's just move on.
I didn't mean it that way.
Okay.
Well, anyway, they come in the second period and just look great. And then, man, but they... There's some things they got to work on, which is like maybe a little less penalties, because holy smokes.
Dude.
I think there were 4 in the third period, 1 with like a minute left in the game, hearts racing. But this is exactly what we were hoping for. Close games, grind it out, and goaltending coming up big when you need it to. And that's exactly what Philip Grubauer did. He made some clutch saves, including one great breakaway save. And at the end of the game, he was just stopping everything. What a win for the Seattle Kraken.
Nice.
Yes, their 2-game winning streak.
Yeah!
Woo!
Carson Soucy had a couple of goals. And as Marshawn Lynch would call him, his boy Kelly Yarncroke, scored his 100th goal yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And I love it, because after the game, he spoke with Jen Mueller over at Root Sports while he was still on the ice, or right after the game. And She's trying to be all glasses half full, but he's just being self-deprecating about the fact that it took him as long as it did for him to score 100 goals. Here's Kylie and Jen Mueller after the game.
It is career goal number 100 for you. What will you reflect on from this milestone?
Maybe that it took me 9 years to get it. I don't know. It took a long time to get 100.
But that also shows that you had longevity, though, that you've been around for 9 years. So we'll look at the positive side of that. How about?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, whatever.
That sounds good. Congrats on 100 goals. Yeah, but it took me 9 years. Yeah, what is the, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what was it Gretzky doing his first year? I mean, I'm trying to see, get an idea, like, how long it takes to get 100.
One of those early years, he had like 70-something. It was ridiculous. But still, a nice milestone. And also, it was the game winner.
Okay, I like that. Game winner, 100. You know, hey, listen, that's the time to get your 100 it really means something.
Let's keep the winning ways going tonight against the St. Louis Blues, a team that they were leading going into the third period last week and then blew it. So hopefully we don't do that again.
And this is a home game?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Back-to-back action.
Yeah. Yesterday, dude, it was insane. Danny and I were just laughing, going back and forth. You know, like, people, obviously, they try and jack the prices up when they try and, you know, with supply and demand. Yeah. But when, like, season ticket holders are just trying to unload their tickets on the Ticketmaster site, sometimes they got to drop the prices so they could just sell a ticket and not take a complete loss. And weeknights are always a little bit harder to sell your ticket. But I've never seen it this crazy, like, moments before the game, you could get like a really good ticket for like $30.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
I mean, it's a waiting game. Like if you waited until when the puck dropped, I saw a pair of tickets going for $20 a ticket.
Yeah,
wow,
you're gambling. But I, because even an hour before, it was only $40.
Yes,
I was like super sad that I didn't go to the game last night because I was like, I could have gotten in for so cheap.
Yeah, at one point it was like a beer costs just a little bit less than a ticket.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Which is not saying much about the price of the beer, but, you know.
Well.
Hey, as far as weather, 48 degrees. We're going to see something called the sun later on today.
Whoa.
What the hell's
that? Be sure to say hi to it if you can. Thanks to Beacon.
Hi, sun.
It's a one-liner day. You know, what's up?
Hey.
Beacon Plumbing. Thank you. Beacon Plumbing, Heating and Mechanical. That's the mix report, and that's what's up.
Well, I will say this. I spent some time in Puyallup yesterday in that area. Hey, shout out to South Hill Mall. Whoa, whoa. And the sun was out all day yesterday.
I know. BJ texted me afterwards because we met up for lunch. And, you know, like, it was raining in Mercer Island when I left. I come over to your area. It's sunny. I go back home. It's Mercer Island. It's raining. Even your weather is better in Puyallup.
True. I saw it happening as I was driving north on 167. I was just like, okay, this is going to be, I see the clouds. I go, the sun's going to go away. Because it was sunny to the point where you had to put it everywhere because it was that in your eyes. And as I'm driving north, I'm going, look at this. There, I can see the black cloud. I see it that's Bellevue right up there where that cloud is. And then as soon as I hit Bellevue, the sun was gone and never to be seen again. I'm like, freaking Puyallup. Are you guys the banana belt? And I didn't know.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't know this. Okay.
But most importantly, you came to Puyallup to enjoy some Karma Indian.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Which is, I think, the top story of the day. I've been very nervous about this lunch because BJ and I were going to get together and he's like, let's get some Karma. I'm like, all right, awesome. I don't have to drive very far. This is sweet. But I'm nervous because BJ is a massive fan of Indian food. Like, you get it all the time.
Yeah.
That's your thing. So I'm like, man, I've been pumping the tires of Karma for years now. Watch, he walks in. He's not feeling it. And then just like my movie taste, I'm never going to hear the end of it.
Right. Not at all, man. Karma was legit.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it was good. And what I love, especially if you go to a cuisine that you really, really love and you go to different places and they all have their own take, and it really depends, especially if there's multiple regions in a country, and depending upon where those folks are from, they will take that region and that will inspire how they flavor all the dishes they serve. And, Karma served a dish that I have gotten a lot of times, but they served it differently, but it was good, a different sauce, and was like, okay, this is... to the point where I think I'm going to have to see if I can get Kathy to. We might have to make a trip down there.
Road trip to Puyallup, baby.
Just for that Malai Kofta, because that sauce was so unique and so good. Oh, man. And the naan bread was a little different and good than I've had in other places. So I love when they have their own take on stuff. And it was so good. Yeah, it was legit. Yeah, and they brought out the bucket of tamarind sauce for our batter fried vegetables, the pakoras. And I give a nod to a place that does that because, man, some restaurants, you got to fight to get that brown sauce. They'll give you a little thing. Can I get some extra? And I usually ask 3 or 4 times because I go through it. But they brought out the bucket for me.
Yeah, it was like a hip hop video. They're just spraying that sauce all over.
I got to tell you, and I was like, oh, my face, Dewey. Oh, yeah. So Karma Indian is legit right there, man. Yeah, I highly recommend.
Now 3 for 3 on people on the show that have tried Karma Indian.
Oh, dude, I love that place. If it was a little bit closer, I'd love it. But, I mean, hell, even BJ's going down there now, so I have no excuse.
No excuse.
Oh, and in the sweet spot of time. All right, so if I drive at 10 o'clock south, I'm good. And if I come home and drive north at 2 o'clock, I'm good. Like, no traffic. So it's like, it's perfect for lunch. I could just shoot down there, 40-minute drive, 40-minute drive back.
That sounds about right, actually.
That's reasonable.
It's the only sweet spot.
Yeah, it's such a sweet spot because I remember I was like the night before I go, let me see how long it's going to take to get down to Karma. And it said like 1 hour and 11 minutes. So I said, oh, man. But that was like around 5. So I was man. Yeah. So I left the show. I went early. Steve, I was there 1 hour early. That's why I know about the South Hill. I said, I'll go hang out at South Hill Mall. I'm here 1 hour early.
Did
I thought
you bring your walking poles and walk around South Hill Mall and not invite me?
Might have been happening. Might have happened.
Unbelievable.
And they did an upgrade on South Hill because I was there a long time ago when they had the carpets down, but they brightened the joint up. Looks good.
I don't even know. I believe you, but I never even noticed those things.
Yeah, look at you. Didn't even notice this. The guy that, see, that they put the wrong guy in that sign. I'm the mall guy. I should have been honored.
But also, BJ showed up with a gift for baby Tatum, and now she has her third snowman toy. It's ridiculous. She's got so many snowmen.
I wasn't sure because I know she's partial to Frosty, and I gotta give props to Vicky because I said, Vicky, I think I know what I want to get, but what do you think? And Vicky backed it up and she said, listen, she's all about the snowman, you know, do a snowman. And so I was like, cool. And
at one point she was sitting in a box yesterday after she got it with her three snowmen,
as you do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's so awesome. She's just, when you think of all the toys you buy, and she's like, you know, I'm going to go hang out in my box. Yeah. And you're like, okay, you know what? If I'd have known all you needed was boxes, and you'd be like, you know.
Oh, yeah. They go in the box, they sit in there, and then she goes, choo choo. And then dad has to push her back and forth and play the game of when is my back going to go out?
I was going to say, hey, you get your workout in for the day, man.
Oh, so she does.
I'm working that core because I know if I don't, one false step, daddy ain't getting up.
Yeah. Right. Oh, did Steve get injured doing wrestling?
No. He was pushing his daughter in a box and she's yelling, choo choo!
Choo choo!
Oh, man, dude. Yeah, you're getting a workout doing that.
Oh, man. Oh, it's always like cringe whenever she goes, daddy, choo choo. I'm like, oh, no, we got to go in the box and I got to like bend over and push you. All right, let's go. Yeah, at one point that she wanted to watch Frosty the Snowman with her three snowmen sitting right next to her.
Nice. That is so awesome, dude. Look at her.
Yeah, she went to bed with your snowman. It was a big day.
You know, it was very traumatizing for me to have to buy a snowman. You understand that, right?
You know, I didn't even think about that, man.
Talk
about growth.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, your kid loving my nemesis, but I'm like, all right, well, I got to be the bigger man here.
A lot of people are texting and go from silliness to sad news, but people are like, did you hear about Meatloaf?
Yeah.
Wow. I woke up and I was not expecting that.
That was a shocker. He died last night surrounded by his wife, daughters, and close friends. 74 years old, which I know to a lot of people is old, but when you get to be my age, you're like, that's not a lot of time left. I mean, damn, I don't like that, man.
Yeah.
They haven't released his cause of death, but TMZ, of course, has got info. And the info they have says he was supposed to attend a business dinner earlier this week for a show that he was working on. But the dinner was canceled because he became seriously ill with COVID. So and then sources say that quickly became critical. So it appears, according to TMZ, that it was COVID related, which just sucks. I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, we've had a tough year when we lose anybody, but when you hear that it's COVID related, it's just like, I'm just so effing done with COVID just ruining stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For lack of better words.
Yeah. I mean,
that we can't say on the radio.
Yeah. It's just so frustrating.
You know, it's a weird thing. And obviously, it's not a touching tribute moment, but I mean, very sad to hear about that. But my first thought was, man, Rev.
what's he going to do now? Like, he's always dressed up as Meatloaf at any of our events. Like, that's like,
true.
That first person I thought of was the Rev because he dresses as Meatloaf all the time.
You're not the only person. I've gotten so many messages.
You're the Meatloaf guy.
Our text lines, tweets, Facebook, just regular text messages, people letting me know that he passed. Yes, I know. And it sucks. Like, yeah. I feel bad about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the dude had a great movie career, great music career, got himself a Grammy for
great
his
great reality show career.
You understand me? Yeah. But yeah, you're surprised. You know, when you see how he was on those shows, 74 seems like amazing that he made it to that when his blood pressure was just boiling over on The Apprentice.
You do not want to with me.
Yeah.
You look in my eyes, I am the last person in the world you ever want to with.
I mean, I've kind of put him back on the map that season.
Dude, I mean, when you think of the different parts of his career, you're absolutely right.
Fight Club
put him back on the map because that was an awesome role for him. And Paradise by the Dashboard Light and Bat Out of Hell, his album. Dude, nobody was bigger than that guy. I mean, that was my teenhood, young adulthood was that song. I mean, he was huge. And so the idea that the guy kept himself relevant all these years is pretty amazing and a fantastic career for Meatloaf. And he passed away at 74 years old last night.
And I mean, even Eddie from Rocky Horror Picture Show, that's when I first was introduced to him.
Yeah, good call, Rev. I mean, again, the guy was in stuff that really had a cult love and following and therefore extended his relevance.
My favorite, it was the Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, the song where, like, at some point during the song, they have the baseball announcer doing the play-by-play.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it's all, like,
it's
sexual.
Scooter. That was Phil Rizzuto.
Phil Rizzuto, who I grew up big, you know, growing up as a Yankees fan, that was the play-by-play guy. But the story was always that he didn't know that he was reading lines that were meant to be, you know, sexual.
Oh, really? He had no idea?
He maintains that he just went in there to record it. And that he had no idea his contribution was going to be equated with sex in the finished product of that song. But Meatloaf was like, no, Phil was fully aware of what he was doing, but he's just acting ignorant so that way he doesn't get criticized for what he did. Which I thought was such a funny little backstory to that song.
Yeah, well, you know, I can see Phil's concern because back then, you know, people would have judged the hell out of Phil. Because you think about how old people were back in the 70s, forget about it. So I think it is funny that he had to make up that story because I'm sure he did exactly know.
And the crazier part, just to show how much the Red Sox fans, and I know this is a random way to celebrate the life of Meatloaf, but I thought this was such an interesting story, is that I remember reading that because of the rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees, the Boston version of that song was re-edited. They had a Boston radio edit that had the Boston announcer doing that part.
I you know what? Thank you for bringing that up because I thought I was going crazy.
No,
right. They did do that.
Oh, yeah, man, the baseball call was re-recorded by the Red Sox announcers.
Oh, that's so hysterical.
Which that just illustrates, like, at one point, the pure hatred that the Red Sox and the Yankees had for each other, that this song they couldn't even play on Boston radio because it had a Yankees announcer.
Yeah, man, if I'm not mistaken, it came out in 79. Am I right about that? Was that when that song came up? And 78 is when we lost to the Yankees, that Bucky Dent home run. So it's around that time where
78 it was released.
Okay, and that was around that time where Bucky Dent's home run happened. So, the hatred for the Yankees was real because we blew a big lead. The Yankees came back that year from 10 games down. So it makes a lot of sense. Like, we do not want to hear Phil Rizzuto's voice at all.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, it just goes to show you that sports was huge, you know, and hatred was even huger. Oh, man. Well, again, if you're just tuning in, Meatloaf unfortunately passed away last night at 74, at least surrounded by his family, his wife, his daughters, and close friends. So that's, that's cool. You know, I mean, that's how I'd like to go out with my loved ones. And they think it was COVID-related, but they haven't released an official statement on that. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Who headlined at the 2021 Super Bowl halftime show? 2021 Super Bowl halftime show.
I still wouldn't know it. I'm trying to figure it out. Beyonce?
No.
Taylor Swift?
No.
And Boykin Hope? Justin Timberlake?
No.
Sir, it was somebody a little bit more contemporary. Well, than Justin Timberlake, I would say. The Weeknd.
Yep.
That was the correct answer. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're going to play Beat Migs. We'll do it at 647 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. What's the difference between filing for bankruptcy and credit counseling?
Credit counseling is a useful process in some circumstances, but it does show up on your credit. In fact, from a credit scoring standpoint, credit counseling shows up just like a bankruptcy, so it's going to affect your credit as negatively as filing bankruptcy. In credit counseling, the idea is that a credit counselor works with your creditors on your behalf to try to lower interest rates or work out payment plans with your creditors to pay back your debt over time. In credit counseling, you almost always pay back 100% of the debt, sometimes at lower interest. And of course, some creditors will participate in that process and some won't. So you're usually left with kind of a mixed result with credit counseling and, of course, a high payment.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.